I want to talk about a fairly simple thought today, you know, the meaning of life. Thought we'd all just start with something easy, the secret to living, you know. And I chuckle about that, but I'm telling you, everybody in here has come up with their reason and their understanding of what life is all about. From the beginning of time, people have come up with different philosophies to try to explain the depth and the meaning of life. The only problem is there's only one right answer. So what happens is all of those philosophies have fallen flat on their face, and it's produced a few cynics. How many of you know that if you live long enough, it hurts? It does. And probably someone who gave voice to this in a very eloquent way. Have you heard of a guy by the name of Shakespeare? Yeah, he wrote a play called Macbeth, and his character Macbeth decides to define the futility of life. And he says this, "Out, out, brief candle, life's but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing." Wah, wah. You know, and you just go, oh, well, that's depressing. You know, and what's interesting is so many people land there. Because for all of the wonderful things about life, none of them can answer, one, why it hurts so much and why it ends so painfully. And those realities that life ends in death, no matter what, cause us to run after and chase and try to find what is the meaning of life, what is life is all about. And it always ends in futility, and that is why there are so many people quietly and sometimes not so quietly angry and frustrated. But I have the joy of telling you today, friends, that life is not a futile thing if you actually know what life is. Life is Christ. Amen? I mean, even if I can't conceptualize all of what that means, Scripture is very clear that life is knowing, experiencing, discovering, having, possessing Jesus Christ. In fact, Christ doesn't just say that of himself, you know, that I can give you life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the... He is life. Friends, Jesus Christ is the life that spoke life into existence. He's the one who spoke everything that is into existence. And the Bible says that He is the one who upholds the universe by the word of His power. If Jesus Christ takes His hands off the wheel, then there's nothing. Not chaos, nothing. Because He is life. Scripture goes on to say that if you find life and you find Christ, then you find it abundantly. That He is the source of life. Life is found in Jesus Christ. Friends, it's the most transformative truth that there is, and I get to talk to you about it today. And so, I want to begin by sharing with you the secret of life. You may say, that's a little audacious, Pastor John. And it would be if it was just Pastor John trying to tell you about it. But Scripture tells us what the secret of life is. And you find it in Philippians 1, verse 21, where Paul says a statement that if you've been around Christian circles for any amount of time, you've heard or you've seen it on somebody's wall or somebody had a t-shirt that said this. Paul says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Probably the most pivotal statement in Scripture, and the thing that unlocks living in its totality. There is so much in this verse. And to begin with, the first thing I tell you for Paul is he says Christ is at the center of all things. To live is Christ. What is so interesting to me is even in Christian circles, most of the time we start dealing with Christ as a way to be ready to die. Have you come to the Lord? Are your sins forgiven? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Well, that's all true and well and good, friends. But the fact is, Jesus is not only the way that you get to die well and go on and have hope. He is the only one who can set you free to live. Because He's the one who defines what life is. He is life itself at every level. So how do I know this? Well, I like Greek grammar. Some people, that's not your exactly joy. I kind of get a kick out of it because it's so impressive. Now, what's interesting is the English here and your translation in your Bible has been kind to you by providing verbs in this sentence. The only problem is there are no verbs in this sentence in the Greek. So what does it say? For me to live, Christ. To die, gain. There's no is. For me to live, Christ, to die, gain. Why are there no verbs? Because so many of us have gotten content with putting our understanding of this verse in place. You know, is Paul saying to live is Christ? Is he saying to live depends on Christ? Is he saying to live means Christ, honors Christ, makes Christ happy? Yes. Every last one, yes. To live is summarized by having Christ and experiencing Christ and knowing Christ and finding life. That is what it means to live. It's everything. And here's the problem is that the minute you think it's just one thing, it's no wonder that you're struggling with life. To live is Christ. John MacArthur preached years ago a sermon on this, and I found it as I was just kind of reading this week, and he got to this moment in the scriptures and he just kind of exploded, and I want to read it to you because he was talking about this and he says, life is summed up as Christ. I am filled with Christ. I am occupied with Christ. I trust Christ, love Christ, hope in Christ, obey Christ, preach Christ, follow Christ, fellowship with Christ. Christ is the center circumference of my life. It's all Christ. Christ and Christ alone, he says, is my inspiration, my direction, my meaning, my purpose. I am consumed and dominated by Christ. How many of you would say that's probably not what your week looked like? And how many of you struggled with the meaning of life this week and are strapped to the wall by your temporal experience and how far you've gotten down the road of your plan, and it has been dominated by lacking things instead of by joy? The answer is understanding what Paul's saying. He's saying, look, at the center of all things is Christ. So Christ in the hard, getting more of Christ, experiencing Christ in all the lacks, in all the brokens, in all the undones, I am experiencing Christ in all of the victories, in all the accomplishments, in all of the papers that are done. Shout out to the Judson folks. All of that is Christ and experiencing Him. And if Jesus Christ is the meaning of life and experiencing Him is the core of everything you're doing, then to live is joy in Christ. And then it goes on to say, Christ at the center of all things, but he'll also say, Christ at the end of all things, to die is gain. Gain is a word that implies profit. Can I ask you, how in the world can death be profitable? How can that happen? Well, Paul is a theologically astute man, and what he understands is in life, whatever life throws about me, it's all about knowing Christ, experiencing Christ, and having joy in Christ. So that's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to get more of Jesus, and I'm going to get more of Christ. Well, what happens if I die? Oh, then I really get more of Him. You know, it's like, bring it. What's the worst thing? You know, I was thinking about this. I told one of my kids this the other day. I said, you know, the worst thing that can happen today is I get more Jesus. The worst, the hardest this day can do, what can it give me as a believer? It can give me more of my Savior. And if that is true of you, then death becomes an opportunity to experience Him even more so. If I could, I would make you all do this. You don't have to. I would have you write an equation on your bulletin this morning. Better yet, I'd make you put it in your Bible. Because I'm about to give you the ultimate equation. And I do not repent of that. It's the most important equation. How many of you are math people? God bless you. We need you. I'm just not one of you. But I understand how math works. And so here's the equation. If you were to write, you would say, for me to live is blank. Equals, to die is gain. See, the ultimate thing robbing you of your joy today is that you live in a broken and a sinful, fallen world, which means that life hurts and you have no idea how long it hurts, and when it ends, it's going to end in your death. How in the world can what you experience in this life and the answer you have found be so powerful that in the face of the thing that the rest of the world is scrambling to avoid, you can look it in the eye and say, and that will be gain? And depending on how you answer the question and how you fill in the blank is the joy of your life right now. You see, there is only one equation, there is only one answer that translates into life abundantly now and abundantly even more so beyond the grave. To me, to live is Christ. Christ alone, because Christ alone has paid the penalty for my sin. Christ alone has the power of a resurrected life. Christ alone is life itself. And the man who finds Christ finds life, finds it abundantly, comes to the grave and says, let me get rid of this mortal shell, this frame that constantly causes me guilt and frustration and is like scale before my eyes. Rip it all down and let me stand forever in the presence of my Lord without any of it in between. Amen? You see, the only way that works is if you have Christ in the blank. So I would just say, today your job is, what's in your blank? There are lots of wonderful things people put in the blank. For me to live as family. But you're going to leave them when you die. For me to live is helping others. Can't help them when you're dead. How in the world can all of those things be touched in such a way that you don't lose them, but it is still gain for you to die? The only way is if life for you is about Christ. If that is true, if that is true, that for you, and to the degree that it is true, that Jesus Christ is your life, then you are then set free. And the only way to be set free from all of this stuff is to have Christ as your life. If He is the secret of life, then He will become the sweetness of life. You see, I know a lot of people in this room know Christ, but if I ask you how sweet is life, you may have a different answer to me. Well, life is hard. You're right. I keep getting kicked in the teeth by life. What are you talking about, sweetness? Well, look at how Paul unpacks this in verses 22 and 23, the sweetness of life. He says, but if I am to live on in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. And I don't know which to choose. But if I'm hard-pressed from both directions, having both the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. See, Paul understands that the only thing that can happen in this life as a believer, if Christ is the center of your life, is you get to bear fruit. What does it mean if you live today? Here's the thing. Don't you love it when God takes our extremes out to their very end? Like, I don't know the circumstances going in your life, but here's the existence you live between. You live between you could die and you could live. How many of you are somewhere in there this morning? Okay, I don't know how bad it is, but what could happen to you today? You could die. How bad could it get? You could die. That could happen. Or you could live. You could wake up tomorrow. We all on the same page? How does that become sweetness? How does that become freedom? Paul understands that if he lives, remember what the scripture says, if we live unto the Lord. If we die to the Lord. Either way, that we are the Lord's. He says, my life is now found in Christ. So what am I going to have if I stay alive? I'm going to have a fruitful life. In scriptures, we have like three different pictures of a fruitful life. How many of you have heard of the fruit of the Spirit? Well, what is Jesus doing in this whole sanctification time of your life? What is he doing? He's changing the way you think. He's changing the way you feel. He's replacing it by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's growing up fruit in you. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Things that are not natural to you, but are the very life of Jesus Christ. What is going to happen if you stay alive today? In your lousy commute, in your frustrating finances, in the craziness of your marriage, in the struggle of your dating relationship. What's going to happen? You're going to grow fruit. That's what you're going to do. You're going to produce, by the power of God, fruit. And it's not just how you think or how you feel. The Bible says there are now in our lives the fruit of righteousness, meaning that because Christ is our life, we're no longer living for our agenda, but we're living for God's agenda. What is the will of God? Your righteousness. If you go back in this passage, Philippians 1, 9 through 11, Paul prays for these things. He prays that they will abound in love, the Philippians, that real knowledge will be part of their life, real discernment, he says, that their lives will approve what is excellent, and that you will live sincere and blamelessly in this world. What's going to happen today in your life if you live by the power of God because he's your life? You're going to live differently than the world around you. See, the world doesn't know the meaning of life. So what's it doing? It is literally, just picture a massive, you know, rain engorged river just crashing, and the whole world is surfing down this thing, and it's a river of sin and selfishness, and it says, if you get what you want, then you found life, and they're all chasing it and surfing it, and then there's you. What's going to happen today? There you go in the opposite direction. You're kayaking upstream. People are like, what in the world? Do you know the current? There's no way you can't live for sex, drugs, and self-fulfillment and self-identification and your own social justice spectrum that's supposed to set you free from all the problems in the world and every other thing that our culture can throw at us. What are you doing? Christ! 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 How can you be loving? You're not getting what you want. Christ. I'm just Christ. I can't believe this. You know, my life is now marked by finding life. And there's a final fruit that your life bears. You know what it is? It's a harvest of souls. Because as these people gallop down this river, going with the flow, they just have to keep running because they never find satisfaction. How many of you know sin takes? Self takes. Our own best thoughts about life, they just take and take. And that year you go, filled by the power of the Holy Spirit. Friends, you cannot. It doesn't make sense. Have you ever kayaked upstream? Do you know what it is to have your arms burn like fire in a culture that tells you, what in the world do you think you're doing? How can you dare disagree with our morality and our self-fulfillment? And you're like, I know, as I am getting fire hosed by the pressure of this world, and yet my life is going. And the Spirit of God lets you testify to somebody else whose life is caught in a current and they're miserable, and you proclaim the words of the living God, and there is a Jesus, and He is life, and He loves you, and He can empower you. Look at me! There's no way this should be happening! What have you got? Life!
Amen? That is what it means. I will bear fruit. I will glorify God if I live. It does not mean you are not getting smacked in the face daily by the rapids. And your arms aren't burning. And you got all the problems of the world. But the thing is, that's not your life. Christ is your life. I will glorify Him. And when that is true, friends, then the rest of the phrase makes sense. To die is gain. What does it mean? If I live, I will be fruitful. If I die, it will be better. Do you believe that? Paul says, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Again, I love Paul when he does things like he doesn't just say to depart and be with Christ because that'll be better. He says very much better. It's like not saying awesome. It's like saying totally awesome. It's like whatever awesome is, this is what this is going to be. For the Christian, do you understand this, friends? Christ, He is our life. And so to be with Him will be better. You know, I have been for the 26 years of my life the recipient of notes from my wife, Kim. And they started when we were dating. I would get these little handwritten notes. And I would get them in the middle of my day. And then as we got married, the notes never stopped. And the phone calls never stopped. Only now they've become texts. You know, I get texts now. And I get them every day. I really honestly can't tell you a day when I've not got one of these from my wife. And it's basically, hey hun, how you doing? Hey, I love you. Hey, how's it going? And don't think like we're Cinderella here. They're like, hey, you forgot the garbage. I love you. They come in reality. But every day I get notes, and sometimes they're bigger than that. I come home at night and there's a note by my bed, and honey, I've been praying for you, and I love you, and I'm proud of you. Can I tell you how integral those have been to the framework of my confidence and my life? But I want to tell you something. Not one of them compares to being in her arms. That is very much better. You see, the Word of God was given to us, and it is the very words of Jesus Christ. Amen? And He lives with us and within us by the power of the Holy Spirit. But I have not seen Him with my eyes. I know He loves me. And I hear as I read His Word every day what He has done for me and how He cares for me and of His purpose in my suffering and of His sufficiency in my life and of His worthiness and of His grace and of His majesty. And I am spending my life, and if I treat Him and as I come to Him as my source of life, my life continues to ever expand. But there is going to come a moment I will be in the embrace of my Savior. And that, my friends, will be better. Amen? To never more have to leave it. See, the problem with even physical relationships is you don't get to stay in a hug forever, do you? You can't. And in our life, we live it by faith. But someday, praise God, I won't have to live by faith anymore. How about you? Looking forward to that? Because He'll be there. Paul says, the sweetness of life is knowing that I will live in the power of Jesus Christ and discover Him. But if I die, I will just have Him. The Bible says, when we see Him, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. It is not yet revealed, friends, all that we are to be, Scripture said. But someday, everything God ever intended in His creation of you will be unleashed, and everything of joy will be released to you with no barriers. You know the problem with eating? I get full. And there are some things, frankly, I don't want to stop. Are any of you gluttonous like your pastor? How about when I don't have to stop with my Savior? How about when I don't get tired? How about when I'm released to worship. I tell you this morning, there's singing and song and my hands go up and my heart, but you know what? I'm fleshly and I get tired. And I'm just like, oh, I can't take another chorus. Please. I can't do it. How about when I can? Anybody looking forward to that? Bring it on forever. If I die, it will be better. Paul says that he's hard pressed. He's hard pressed, meaning that he lives in between these two realities. He's hemmed in. So friend, today if you live, you're going to experience, know, serve, and glorify Christ by doing His will. If you die today, you're going to experience, know, serve, and glorify Christ by doing His will in person, without obstruction. And you know what this does? It relieves all guilt. How many of you'd kind of like to live today? How many of you hoping for another week? Come on, be honest. How many of you got something in your mind you're like, that would be cool to see? You know, I want to see my Savior, friends, but I kind of like to see how it works out at Elgin. I want to see some of your kids lead their friend to Christ. I want to be there on the day that the broken you've been carrying has been healed. I want to be there on the day when the culture is crushing down on this place and the light of the gospel shines forth and people are rescued for eternity. I'd like to be here for that. And it is not wrong, because I'm hard-pressed that God created me and He created you for a purpose and they were for good works, and He wants us to live with a joy in Christ that's not bound to this world. We're stuck between sweetness. The worst that can happen today, I get more Jesus. Okay. What does that release you to? Well, it releases you to the selflessness of life, the gospel life that the world doesn't get. You know, Paul, I mean, most of us, like, how many of you don't really, you realize, and Paul's not saying this, you don't have a decision on whether you live and die. I mean, it's appointed unto man once. I'm sorry, God appointed it, you don't get it. But Paul is literally sitting in the prison, and he's contemplating it, because the results of this trial are, I could die, or I could live. Some of you know what this is because you faced like a cancer or something that was a life sentence, and you had to sit there, and all of a sudden, you're kind of put in that place. What would you choose? I could go to be with Jesus, or I could keep hurting. I could be with Jesus, or I can be so destitute. I can be in such an emotionally hard place. I mean, honestly, wouldn't it just be better to go? But shock of all shocks, look at what Paul says. Verse 24. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Wow. He chooses to stay. What in the world? Why would you do that? How could you be so selfless? Because, friends, when Christ is your life, the satisfaction of Christ as your life lets you begin to live like Christ, which is what? An absolutely other-centered life. If you go into Philippians chapter 2, we read sort of the penultimate passage about Christ. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although He existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but He became humbled. He humbled Himself. He took on the form of a bondservant. How low did He go? Even unto death, and death on a cross. Why and how can you do that? Because I'm the way. I'm the truth. And I'm the life. And what do Christians possess now that they're Christians? They've got life. And nothing can take that from them. In fact, the worst of the world can only give more of it to them. So the shock of all shocks is that the biggest question for a believer, and by the way, friends, if you want to know where you're at in your spiritual maturity, is how others-centered is your life? Some of you are fearful you don't know enough of Scripture.
You're fearful that you're not as squeaky clean as you should be. And all those things are important. But a mark of Christ-like maturity is when life becomes about the needs of the people around you. So much so that when it comes to what is important in this life, you can say, you know what? I choose to do what is necessary for the people that God has given me in my sphere to love. And by the way, Mom, at the end of COVID and wanting to sell your children, that will let you love them. And all the moms said, amen. That will give you grace for the worst and the most broken situations, won't it? See, it's a life without fear. I can't lose. I can't lose life, and so I can love. How many of you like roller coaster rides? How many of you used to like roller coaster rides? I don't know where that changes in life, but I love the pictures at the end of a roller coaster ride, you know, where you can go to the desk and they take pictures of your faces. And it's and the ones we lived for are not this. It's we're looking for the one who's terrified out of their mind. You know, they got their hands on the wheel and it looks like they're crushing the metal and their face is just, you know, and they got that just terrified. And some of you look like that. I'm sorry. The bottom line of this passage is that you are so clinging on to fearing I might not get what I need. I can squeeze tight enough down on life that I can manhandle and I can stop this roller coaster of life. How many of you know that's a pipe dream? Any of you stopped the loop-de-loops yet? Anybody kept you from the corkscrew yet? Not even close. We had a rule in my youth group when I went on roller coaster ride with the youth. It was the minute you got in the seat, hands up. Didn't matter the ride, hands up. And the whole goal was, can you make it through? And what ended up happening is sometimes people were not joyous. They're like, ah! You know, but hands were up. See, here's the thing. Understanding this releases you to a selflessness of life that lets you do this. God, I will praise you and I will serve you and I will seek the needs of others, not because it's easy for me, not because it doesn't hurt, but only hurt that can happen to me is I get more of my Savior. So guess what? Today, I am not going to attach life to my circumstances. I'm going to attach life to Christ, who is the Lord of my circumstances. Amen? And it frees you to focus on others. Where will that land you? Well, it'll land you in this next slide, the satisfaction of life. What's the ultimate satisfaction of life? What will satisfy your soul? Paul says in verses 25 and 26, and we'll end with this, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. Look, how many of you know you're not sovereign over your circumstances? How many of you know you still have permission to follow Jesus? How many of you know you still got to choose to drive? There is no let go and let God in the Christian life. So, not knowing, I mean, is Paul saying prophetically, I'll come to you? How many of you know he didn't? He died. They executed him. He doesn't get to go back. So was he saying that this is exactly what's happening? No, that's not what Scripture's saying. He's saying this, that as long as I draw breath, this is what satisfies me in my life. Your progress in the gospel. Your deepening of your experience of life in faith in Jesus Christ. He says, that is what I'm going to live for. That word progress, do you know what it means? It means to blaze a trail. Paul says, here is my satisfaction in life, that I will blaze a trail that points to Jesus in the heights and in the depths of my life so clearly that when you look at me, in the heart of my life, in the victories of my life, what you will see is the satisfaction of Jesus Christ, and you will rejoice in your God because of the way I live. So what does that look like? Christian,
Everybody's trying to live a life of significance. The saved and the unsaved. In our culture, it has gone beyond wanting to be significant and almost wanting to be worshipped for our individualism. And we've really raised that up. And so how do you do that? Have you noticed how big our culture is on like being your own person and identifying yourself and everything? It's almost like I picture people kind of like trying to leave their mark and they're floating their boat through the middle of the ocean. And the whole goal of their life is keep getting a bigger boat. Keep being a bigger individual. Make your mark on the life, you know? And the whole thing is like, man, if you cast off a big wake, you know, some of us, you know, well, you need to work on it. You're like a little wake, you know, little 2 feet, you know, splash. You know. Then this dude comes by and 10-foot swells coming off the back of their individual life. And we're all supposed to go, ooh. What happens 30 seconds later? Nothing. Nothing. When I was a boy, we used to travel from Southern California up to Washington State. And we went through multiple mountain ranges. And I always was fascinated as a boy looking out when we would be going into a mountain range and all of a sudden the highway would go through the middle of just a giant outcropping of granite. And literally 100, 150 feet of granite had just been blown up and removed so that the road could go through. Friends, like Paul, I want to leave a trail that is such a trail that it cuts through the obstructions of the futilities of life and it leaves a wide path that can lead the people God has given me to love to life. I'm a diabetic. I don't know how long I get to live. I hope I make it to 90. Odds are 20 years if I'm healthy, maybe more. So I'm probably not going to get to meet my great-grandkids. But I want them to see the trail of my life. Not carved in water and in self, but built in Christ and busting up and then to say, there's life. Jesus is worth it. How about you? What do you want? Don't we want that? We want it today. We want to live in such a way that if I am smacked by the heart of life, I in faith receive it as more of my Savior. If I have victory, if you have victory, I receive it as more of my Savior. And should I come to die, don't worry about me. I'm full. Amen. Christian, life is Christ. What is in your blank today? For me to live is Christ. Let's pray. God, we do not profess to be able to live that kind of life and our strength, but you who are our life, salvation is to find you, God. But I tell you what, Lord, if we do not get this first thing down, then life is not full of sweetness. It's just full of loss. And then we forever are consumed, white-knuckled with, will I get what I want, instead of understanding I've been given beyond what I could ever ask for. And daily get the chance of knowing you and glorifying you, that others may know you. God, I pray that you'd release us to joy. And all God's people said, Amen.